seat and place it in the offering plate later in the service, we would appreciate that. As we move to our time of announcements, be sure to pick up your calendar sheet to find out what's going on here at First United Methodist. I just want to highlight that March Madness continues, and if you want to vote for your favorite church song, brackets are available in the Narthex, and then I think Nora has some in the Chestnut Street lobby, and she'd be glad. Do you have? Oh, there's Nora. Do you have more brackets? Are they out in the lobby? Okay, they're on the table, either way, if you haven't gotten one yet. Also, please note that the children's Easter egg hunt is this Saturday at 11 o'clock here at the church. Let us prepare ourselves with a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is joy to come into your house today and worship you. I pray that you would renew us with the power of your Holy Spirit, and that we would experience your grace and love in a fresh way. Bless this time of worship, and bless us as we gather as the body of Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Walking down these desert roads, water for my thirsty soul. I need you. Oh, I need you. Your forgiveness, like
you may be seated. As we go to our time of congregational prayer and receiving the morning offering, you may have noticed a rosebud on the altar. It is in honor of the birth of McLaughlin Woods McNair. Proud grandparents are Gail and Benny McNair. So as we go to our time of prayer, also I ask that you keep in your thoughts and prayers our confirmation class. We have 15 confirmands that are meeting on Wednesday night and learning about the church and discerning if they want to be a part of the church through church membership. So I ask that you keep them in your prayers. Catherine is still in need of confirmation mentors. If you would like more information about what it means to be a confirmation mentor, information is available in the Narthex and at the Chestnut Street lobby. Let us pray. God, you are faithful, and we thank you for your faithfulness and love. We thank you for the many people who give of themselves to reach the next generation of believers through confirmation, through our nursery, through our children's ministry, through our youth ministry. What a blessing it is to be a part of a church that blesses children. God, we ask that you forgive us our sins, that you draw us closer to you, that your blessings not only be upon us, but this church, our nation, and our world, and this offering that we are about to receive. God, may it be used to give you glory and allow all to know your love and grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If the ushers will come forward, we will receive our morning offering.
Assurance.
So we continue our sermon series, Word from the Window. This week's window happens to be Jesus blessing the children, which can be found in the back of the sanctuary on the courtyard side. It depicts a loving Jesus affectionately welcoming the children to him. It was installed with most of the windows here in the sanctuary in 1936 and designed by Joseph Lorenz. The window was given in memory of Ethel Lindsay Klutz and Ella Mae Hunter by their Sunday school class. These women were beloved teachers and represent countless of other teachers at First United Methodist Church who taught children and loved children across the generations. Ethel was born shortly after her father's death and attended church with her mother, brother, and aunt. Later in life, she became a renowned artist, learning and teaching in several arenas across the United States. Her work won recognition throughout the Southeast. She was director of art for Gadsden City Schools from 1916 until the 1920s. Ella Mae Hunter also lost her father at an early age. She and her mother lived with her grandparents. In addition to her faithful work with the children's department in this congregation, she supported herself as a stenographer and bookkeeper for the AJ Manufacturing Company during the Depression era. And now to the scripture which inspired the window. If you have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 15 through 17. Luke 18, verses 15 through 17. Hear the good news. People were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we examine this beautiful piece of art, and as we look to your word, may the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing and acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So people have shared with me time and time again that they are naturally drawn to this window. And why would they not be? It depicts beautiful children in the lap of Jesus. Jesus welcomes the children with care and concern and love. He looks very loving and the children look so serene. As I look at this window, I not only see this picture of Jesus and the children, but I see two interpretations that speak to our lives as followers of Jesus. In this blessing of the children, I believe we can find our own blessing. We are blessed. But we also find the encouragement to bless others. We are invited to be blessed and be a blessing. Most of you know that this welcome of children was quite radical in Jesus' time. It was not that parents and society were mean to children. It was just a different culture. Just as children today were raised differently than we were raised, so it was in Jesus' time. You have to remember that children had a very high mortality rate. And with that, most parents did not see their children live to adulthood. Also, adulthood began much earlier. Boys were apprenticed out and women were married at a young age, so parents didn't have their children at home. And also, children were seen as economic boosters. In a time when it was a hand-to-mouth existence, children helped the family, and as soon as they were able, they were put to work. So you were either in that era, in that time period, an economic boost or an economic liability. You were worth what you could bring value to the family. So it was a different mindset. Children were not seen as like the center of a household. They were seen as a tool to gaining stability. And also the reality of the parents that they would be gone soon and the reality that a child might die soon caused a totally different dynamic. And you can see this dynamic as the disciples chastise the people for bringing Jesus the children. So why were people bringing Jesus the children? Well, scholars say different things, but some of the scenarios could be that Jesus was famous. And just like with famous people now, they wanted their children to meet this famous man. Or perhaps because Jesus had performed many miracles, they wanted their children to experience the healing that Jesus had given to others. Because of the high mortality rate, they wanted their children to be well. Or it could have been that Jesus was known as a prophet among his people, and they wanted this religious holy man to bless their children so that they might be spiritually blessed. We don't know the exact reasons, but we know that the people were bringing the children to Jesus, and this upset the disciples. And Jesus said, "No, keep bringing me the children, for if you do not receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you must be like a little child in order to receive the kingdom of God." And Jesus blessed them. Jesus valued them in their lowly status, where they were. Jesus valued them despite the fact that they had no recognition in society. They didn't have esteem. They didn't have money. They didn't have a great position. These were just children in the crowd. And Jesus welcomed them and loved them despite being different than the culture at that time. Jesus values them in their lowly status, without achievement, in their openness, and their ability to wander. Jesus values them as children of the Father, gathering them and blessing them. And maybe we need that kind of blessing in our own lives. Maybe we deeply connect with the children because where we are in our journey of faith, we need to be blessed. We need a blessing from Jesus. Jesus welcomed the children, and this is the nature of God. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were described as children of God. The description pointing to the idea that God loved them, even though they were often disobedient, and even though they didn't follow God always. But just as a good parent will go to any lengths to welcome a child, so God went to great lengths to love Israel. And God goes to the same great lengths to welcome and love us. God pursues us, God blesses us, God woos us. He cares for us with unrelenting mercy and grace, going to great lengths to remain in relationship with us. If you are weary and need a blessing, remember, you are a beloved child of God. And find comfort in the children of this window. Jesus values you without regard to your status, your economic ability, how well you are, your achievements, any of those things. Jesus welcomes you and values you. He cares for you with unrelenting grace. If you had a good parent, Jesus welcomes you with greater love than those parents. If you had a parent that's less than perfect, then know that Jesus loves you like a perfect parent, loving you with that love you did not find. His love is a balm for our soul and rest for our weariness. And you can see it in these children in the window. We can experience this in imagining our place in His love. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And Jesus welcomes you with grace. Also, remember that I said there's another interpretation to this. We not only are invited to receive the blessing, but we are invited to give the blessing. Be like Jesus and bless the children. Bless the next generation of Christ followers. Just as we can experience Jesus' love, we can share Jesus' love with others. We can share the love of Christ as the body of Christ. We believe that as a congregation, we are the representation of Christ here at the corner of Chestnut and Fifth. And that goes deep in how we bless and help our students. We are blessed to have a great children's department. Catherine Barnes does an excellent job with our children in children's church, in Sunday school, in Wednesday nights. And if you've never been here on a Wednesday night, you need to come. Our halls are filled with life, great life. There are usually about 30, there was almost 40 kids here last week. And it was chaos, but it's holy chaos, and it's good chaos. And you can sense the power of the Holy Spirit. And she organizes service projects and fellowship times, BBS, singing. It's great. It is an opportunity for these children to experience love and be blessed by this church and by the body of Christ. And I would be remiss without mentioning our youth department as well. Now, the youth probably would not want to be lumped into the window of blessing of the children, but they are just as important. Their presence here is of value to us. And like the children, their largest group gathers on Wednesday night, and they're an important part of this church. We are blessed to have Carvin McKibben lead as an interim youth director. And also, I want to take a moment and mention our nursery with Jennifer Smith and Jennifer Swan, loving the youngest among us. What a wonderful blessing. We not only provide ministry through our children's department, but also the Early Learning Center. The halls of this church are chaotic through the week, from 9 to 1 every day. Helene Haller and her staff of 13 with 3 substitutes care for 48 students representing 35 families. This is a ministry. Students learn and students love. And most importantly, they learn and love in this church. While many of the ELC families attend church, some don't. And we not only connect with them in chapel and prayers and curriculum of faith, but the children have association with the church that will be the foundation for the rest of their lives. The ELC is an asset and a significant outreach to this community. And we care for children with our outreach and missions. If you look at our newsletter, you will see numbers of how many people were served in our clothes closet and the ladle of love and other avenues. Do you realize that those numbers include children? We feed children every week. We provide clothing for children every other week. In addition to that, we also have the angel tree at Christmas, shoeboxes in the summer, stockings in the summer, and other areas where we bless children, such as the Second Chance Mission and the Etowah Free Clinic. All of these make an impact in the lives of children in the name of Jesus. We bless the children through opportunities of serving in worship. Now, we have a child who lights our candles for you every Sunday, but if you come to the 11 o'clock service, you will have the chance to see acolytes who bring in the light of Christ and take it out every week. And we also have children who sing and participate through music here in worship. In addition to that, our children stay in the first Sunday of every month for communion because we believe communion welcomes the whole family of faith. And on those first Sundays, sometimes it can get noisy. Sometimes it can be a little movement and get loud, but you know what? That is the best noise a church can have, because it would be sad for the day to come when we did not have that noise in our church. We not only have the opportunity to bless children, but their presence among us blesses us. We also bless our children by protecting them with a safe sanctuary policy. You may not realize this, but Safe Sanctuary is a gift to this church and our children. And that is our policies we have put in place to protect our children. When people leave their children here at First United Methodist Church, they can be assured that we have their safety in mind. We care for them. And parents can leave them knowing we are doing our best to protect the children. This is not just the job that we do in the church of blessing the children, but it's also your job outside of this church. Because what we do here is a ministry, but what you do every day is a ministry. Some of you work in areas where you have direct contact with children. whether that be as a teacher, in retail, or some area where you serve children regularly. Use your job, use your career, your calling as an opportunity to bless children. And don't forget the children that are around you and your family as your neighbors, because you have the opportunity to bless these children as well. Perhaps that's the greatest blessing, is mentoring and loving children around us with the love of Christ. For we should not forget that every church is one generation away from closing its doors forever. In fact, we are one generation away from Christianity being gone forever, because we are the ones who carry the good news of Jesus Christ. And as we teach the next generation, we are fulfilling the Great Commission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And in fulfilling that Great Commission, we allow the good news to keep going and going and going. And we bless others at a deeper level. This church needs you to bless children. So that's your call. Receive the blessing and be a blessing. Carmen, Catherine, Helene, others who work with our students could use you to help. See one of them, see a member of this staff, find a place to plug in and help with student ministry. And even if student ministry is not your thing, which I honestly understand for some of you, it may not be. And that's okay. That is perfectly okay. There are ways that you can support student ministry. One of the ways that you can support our student ministry is pray for our students. You can go to Carmen or Catherine and get a list of students to pray for regularly. Or you can help out when there's a need, such as Fall Festival or VBS or with the Easter egg hunt. Donate supplies. Be an encouragement to those who serve and lead. Just ask a staff member, what can I do to bless children here at First United Methodist Church? I don't want to teach a Sunday school class. I don't want to be involved in the chaos. That's not my calling, but I want to help you. How can I support student ministry here at First United Methodist Church? And speaking of prayer, we are praying for all of our students who are in confirmation class across the next few weeks until May 19th on Pentecost Sunday. I'm going to read the names of these students to you. Listen closely. Pick a name to pray for in the coming week. Hold it close to your heart. Pray about being a confirmation mentor. These students need you as a representation of the church. Hear their names. It's Sarah and Sarah Kate and Emily and Haley and Lydia and Miko and Merritt and Anna Kate and Kennedy and Jade and Maggie and Iris and Ava and Jace and Maddie. Those may be names just called out, and you may not be able to put a face with the name, but those are souls. Those are children seeking Jesus. And I don't know what their response will be at the end of confirmation. I don't know if they'll make a profession of faith, if they'll join the church. But I know all of them will be loved and supported in this journey. And they will have a touchstone of grace from First United Methodist Church for the rest of their lives. They will know solid theology, which empowers them and welcomes them, no matter their status, gender, and age. They will hear the good news of Jesus Christ in a new and fresh way. I invite you to pray for them and to uphold them and Catherine as she leads them through the process. Now, as I've said many times in this series, all these pieces of stained glass are subject to interpretation, just like with any beautiful work of art. And so it is with our window for today. Jesus blessing the children. In that beautiful window, we can experience a blessing for ourselves and know we are a beloved child of God. But we also see the children and know the children of Gadsden, Alabama need to be blessed. I pray that Christ blessing the children inspires you to bless others and receive a blessing for yourself. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, We thank you for your presence in our lives and the ways you have blessed us and the ways you call us to be a blessing to others. Help us to use our prayers, our presence, our gifts and service and witness to reach a new generation of believers in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have a prayer need in your life or would like to unite with First United Methodist Church, I'll be available after the service to pray with you. Also, you won't want to miss next week as we continue March Madness. We'll be down to the Final Four, and you'll want a chance to vote because you have to be present to vote. And if you didn't put your bracket in the offering plate, you can leave it up here at the communion rail and we'll be sure to get it. Also, you won't want to miss next week because we'll be at our next window, which happens to be the window in the prayer chapel, Jesus Knocking. And now, receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace.